the Kitchen Party Kaylee, Celtic music from across the globe and across town. I'm Dave Baghdad, and I'm so glad you could join us. On tonight's show, for our theme Third Friday programming, we'll take a close look at the music of Stan Rogers. Thanks for being here.
This program was made possible by support from Nine Irish Brothers in Indianapolis and the Scotty Grant Irish Music Club, as well as donations from the Friends of the Kitchen Party, Kaylee.
Kate Mila Falcha, you're very welcome here for this 95th edition of the Kitchen Party, Kaylee. I'm your host, Dave Baghdad, and we have a great show for you. Some things you may know and a lot you probably don't. Our programming this week is sponsored by the Scotty Grant Irish Music Club and Nine Irish Brothers at the corner of Mass Ave and East Street in Indianapolis. It's theme Third Friday, but I'm going to break form a bit. I'm going to start with a bit of music for you, and then I'll come back and tell you what's going on tonight. So here we go on the Kitchen Party, Kaylee.
The wounded knight that bore the rowan shield, loud and cruel were the raven's cries that feasted on the field, saying that water cold and clear will never clean your wound. There's none but the witch of the Westmerland can make thee hale and sore. So turn, turn your stallion's head till his red mane flies in the wind, and the rider of the moon goes by and the bright star falls behind. Here was the paling moon, when a shadow passed him by, in all the hill were the brightest stars, when he heard the owl and cry, saying, why do you ride this way, and wherefore came you here? I seek the witch of the Westmerland, who dwells with the winding mere, but it's weary by the old water, in the misty brake fern way, till through after the Kirkston past the winding waterway. He said, lie down the Brindletown, and rest ye me good grey hawk, and may my steed me graze thy fill, for I must dismount and walk. But come when ye hear my horn, and answer swift the call, for I fear the sun will rise this morn, you will serve me best of all. And it's down to the water's brim, he's borne the rowan shield, and the golden rod he has cast in to see what the lake might yield. And wet rose she from the lake, and past and great went she, one half the form of a maiden fair with a jet black bear's body. And loud along through me blew, till a steed was by his side, high overhead the grey hawk flew, and swiftly he did ride. Saying, course, well, my Brindletown, touch me the jet black bear, stoop and strike me good grey hawk, and bring me the maiden fair. Said, pray, sheathe thy silvery sword, lay down the rowan shield, for I see by the briny blood that flows you've been wounded in the field. She stood in a gown of the velvet blue, bound round with a silver chain. She's kissed his pale lips once and twice, and three times round again. She's bound his wound with a golden rod, oh, fast in her arms he lay, and he has risen hale and sound with the sun high in the day. She said, ride with your Brindletown's at heel, and your good grey hawk in hand, there's none can harm firm, a knight whose name the witcher of the western land.
Thank you very much.
Thank God that's over with.
We're getting too old for this kind of thing.
That was Stan Rogers with his intense performance of an Archie Fisher song, The Witch of the Westmoreland, and it's Stan Rogers to whom we're paying tribute during this month's themed Third Friday programming. Stan is the legendary Canadian folk singer who died more than 3 decades ago, but whose effect is still being felt today. The selection we just heard comes from one of the last concerts he gave at McCabe's Guitar Shop in Santa Monica, California, less than a week before he lost his life at the age of 33. So why are we paying tribute to Stan Rogers on our Celtic Music Radio program? Several reasons. Stan was born of Irish descendants, and we'll hear what that meant to him a little later in the program. Also, Stan's music was frequently covered by Celtic artists, as we'll also hear during this show. Finally, Stan had deep roots in Maritime Canada, always an important theme on our show, and we'll hear this evening from someone well-placed to talk about those roots. I'm glad you're here, and I hope you'll enjoy what we've got in store for you. Stan was born in Hamilton, Ontario, but as a child, he spent his summers in Guysborough County, Nova Scotia, and in particular, the town of Canso. The town, its people and their concerns, and the music he heard there were all to influence his musical outlook and output through the rest of his life. I first heard Stan Rogers' music from my uncle when I was about 17. I became a fan immediately, and I remain one today. Less than 2 years after I first became aware of Stan, I learned that he'd passed away. Other musical interests have come into and left my scope since then, but Stan's songs have not only remained, they've retained their emotional power, so this is a deeply personal show for me. I mentioned that Stan's music was popular with Celtic artists, so let's hear one of his most well-known and well-loved songs, The Mary Ellen Carter, as performed by two Irishmen, Tommy Makeham and Liam Clancy. The song's message of redemption and recovery is contained within its two-word hook, Rise Again. We'll then hear Stan's meditation on some important Irish issues, but first, here are Makeham and Clancy on The Kitchen Party Cayley.
She went down last October in a pouring driving rain. The skipper, he'd been drinking, and the mate, he felt no pain. Down close to 3 Mile Rock when she was dealt her mortal blow, and the Mary Ellen Carter settled low. There was just us 5 aboard her when she finally was awash. We worked like hell to save her, all heedless of the cost. And the groan she gave as she went down, it caused us to proclaim we'd make the Mary Ellen Carter rise again. Well, the owners wrote her off, not a nickel would they spend. She gave 20 years of service, boys, then met her sorry end. The insurance paid the loss to us, so let her rest below. They laughed at us and said we'd have to go. But we talked of her all winter, some days around the clock. She's worth the quarter million afloat and at the dock. And with every jar that hit the bar, we swore we would remain and make the Mary Ellen Carter rise again.
Rise again, rise again, that her name not be lost to the knowledge of men. Loved her best and were with her till the end. Will make the Mary Ellen Carter rise again.
All spring now we've been with her on a barge lent by a friend. 3 dives a day in hard hat suit, and twice I've had the bends. Thank God it's only 60 feet and the currents here are slow, or I'd never have the strength to go below.
We patched her rents and stopped her vents, dog tatch and port hole down. Put cables to her fore and aft and girded her around. Tomorrow noon we hit the air and then
take up the strain and watch the Mary Ellen Carter rise again.
Rise again, rise again. That her name not be lost to the knowledge of men. All those who loved her best and were with her till the end will make the Mary Ellen Carter rise again.
For we couldn't leave her there, you see, to crumble into scale. She'd saved our life so many times, living through the gale, and the laughing drunken rats who left her to her sorry grave, they won't be laughing in another day. And you to whom adversity has dealt the final blow, with smiling bastards lying to you everywhere you go, turn to and put out all your strength of arm and heart and brain, and like the Mary Ellen Carter, rise again,
rise again, rise again. Though your heart may be broken and life about to end, no matter what you've lost, be it a home, a love, a friend, like the Mary Ellen.
This is a brand new song. And it's brought to you by the same wonderful people who brought you the UDL, the IRA, the PLO, Black September. All those wonderful people who bomb and maim women and small children in the name of some godforsaken political cause. Been 293 years since King Billy invaded Ireland and beat them at the Battle of the Boyne. I think that's long enough to hold a grudge. I took back my hand and I showed him the door. No dollar of mine would I part with this day, for fueling the engine of a bloody cruel war. In my forefather's home far away, who fled the first famine wearing all that they owned, were called navigators all ragged and torn, the grand trunk here and found a new home. Wherever their children were born, their sons have no politics none can recall, an allegiance to long generations before. Oh, this or oh, that name can't matter at all. War be cause enough for to war, and meanwhile my babies are safe in their home. Unlike their pale cousins who cower and cry, while kneecappers nail their poor dads to the floor, and teach them to hate and to die. Now it's these cruel beggars who spurn the fair coin. The peace for their kids they could take at their will. Since the day old King Billy prevailed at the Boyne, they've bombed and they've maimed and they've killed. Now they cry out for money and wail at the door. But home rule or republic, 'tis all of it shame. And a curse for us here who want nothing of war. We're kindred in nothing but name. Have long since blown away. For causes our ashes where children lie slain. Yet the damned UDL and the cruel IRA will tomorrow go murdering again. But no penny of mine will I to the fray. Remember the Boyne, they will cry out in vain. For I've given my heart to the place I was born, and forgiven the whole House of Orange. King Billy and the whole House of Orange.
Stan Rogers there, another track from that remarkable McCabe's concert in May 1983, a moving song called The House of Orange. He was joined in this performance by his brother, Garnet Rogers, on guitar, violin, and flute, and by Jim Morrison on bass. Before that, we heard an interpretation of the Mary Ellen Carter, one of Stan's best-known and loved songs, courtesy of Tommy Makem and Liam Clancy, from their album We've Come a Long Way.
This portion of the Kitchen Party Kaylee has been made possible by donations from the Friends of the Kitchen Party Kaylee, and we thank all of you for your support. If you'd like more information on how to be a friend of the show or to make a donation to help us stay on the air, please contact us via email, Twitter, or Facebook. And as always, thank you for your help.
Let's hear another selection from that McCabe's performance, a wonderful song called White Squall and its spoken intro. Taken together, these tracks demonstrate not only Stan's love of his country, but also his sense of humor and his brilliant comic timing and the way he used comedy to prove a larger point. Plus, it's just a terrific, well-written song. We'll follow that with an instrumental interlude from Stan's first album, but first, here's more live Stan Rogers from May 1983 on The Kitchen Party Kaylee.
I want you to know that I've sold out completely. No, I've finally taken government money. I know, yes. A shocked gasp passed across the audience. The way this came about, my friend David Essig, who's a wonderful songwriter and instrumentalist, wrote a letter to an arts organization run by the government of Canada that is very similar to an organization you used to have here in the United States called the National Endowment for the Arts. I don't know what it is, you know, you guys elect a Republican president and who has a toe dancer for a son and a folk singer for a daughter, and all of a sudden all arts funding in the country gets cut. What's he trying to tell you about his family life?
I know. You didn't elect him, right? I can't find anybody in America who admits to having voted for him.
Well, we still have the Canada Council for the Arts. Powerful Pierre is... He's a pretty artsy-fartsy person, actually. And David wrote a letter and said, "Dear Canada Council, my name is David Essig, and I'd like to take a year off to write an album's worth of weird, esoteric guitar music. How about some money? Love, Dave." He got back this letter. It said, "Dear Dave, love the idea. Here's $19,000. Have a good time. Love the Canada Council. P.S. If you want more, sure." Well, I got really excited, and I decided I was going to write a letter, too. So I said, "Dear Canada Council, my name is Stan Rogers. I've written a lot of songs about the eastern part of Canada, a lot of songs about the western part of Canada, and now what I want to do is fill up the gap in the map and write a bunch of songs about the middle part of the country around the Great Lakes. How about some money? Love, Stan." I got back a letter. It said, "Dear Occupant, your idea shows some merit. Here's $50. Regards, the Canada Council. P.S. If you want more, forget it." This song is called White Squall, and it deals with a meteorological phenomenon on the Great Lakes by the Saint. Did I hurt you? It's a very sudden storm that comes up out of nowhere. You be sailing along, having a wonderful time in your little Tupperware boat. You know, the champagne will be cold, the pate creamy, the French bread crisp on the outside and soft in the middle. Your companion will be pliable. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes this sudden storm with 100-mile-an-hour winds. It only lasts half an hour or so, but when it's gone, so are you. This song also mentions the town of Wyarton, Ontario. Wyarton has provided more senior officers for the Great Lakes shipping lines than any other town in North America. I've been to Wyarton, and I could see why anybody would want to leave there by the first available transportation. You know, a Great Lakes freighter would do fine. White Squall. 2, 1, 2, 3. Now it's just my luck to have the watch with nothing left to do but watch the deadly waters glide as we roll north to the Sioux and wonder when they'll turn again and pitch us to the rail and whirl off one more youngster in the gale. The kid was so damn eager, it was all so big and new. Never had to tell him twice or find him work to do. And evenings on the mess deck, he was always first to sing and show us pictures of the girl he'd wed in spring. But I told that kid 100 times, don't take the lakes for granted. They go from calm to 100 knots, so fast they seem enchanted. But tonight some red-eyed Wyarton girl lies staring at the wall, and her lover's gone into White Squall. Now it's a thing that us old-timers know, in a sultry summer calm there comes a blow from nowhere and it goes off like a bomb. And a 15,000-tonner can be thrown upon her beam while the gale takes all before it with a scream. The kid was on the hatches, lying staring at the sky. Where I stood, I swear I could see tears fall from his eyes. So I hadn't the heart to tell him that he should be on a line, even on a night so warm and fine. But I told that kid 100 times, don't take the lakes for granted. They go from calm to 100 knots, so fast they seem enchanted. But tonight some red-eyed Wyarton girl lies staring at the wall, and her lover's gone into a white squall. When struck, he sat up with a start. I roared to him, "Get down." But for all that he could hear, I could as well not
only sound. So I clung there to the stanchions, and I felt my face go pale as he crawled hand over hand along the rail. Now I could feel her heeling over with the fury of the blow. I watched the rail go under, then so terrible and slow. Then like some great dog she shook herself and roared upright again. Far over side I heard him call my name. But I told that kid 100 times, don't take the lakes for granted. They go from calm to 100 knots, so fast they seem enchanted. But tonight some red-eyed Wyarton girl lies staring at the wall, and her lover's gone into a white squall. It's just my luck to have the watch with nothing left to do but watch the deadly waters glide as we roll north to the Sioux. And wonder when they'll turn again and pitch us to the rail and whirl off one more youngster in the gale. And I tell these kids 100 times, don't take the lakes for granted. They go from calm to 100 knots, so fast they seem enchanted. But tonight some red-eyed Wyarton girl lies staring at the wall, and her lover's gone into white squall.
And you're listening to the Kitchen Party Kaylee.
Stan Rogers and friends there, including Grit Laskin on long neck mandolin and Garnet Rogers, Stan's brother, on fiddle and flute. That track was called Plenty of Hornpipe, and it appears on Stan's debut album, Fogarty's Cove, which came out in 1976. Between the release of Fogarty's Cove and Stan's death in 1983, he released 3 studio albums and a live recording, and at the time of his passing, he had enough material in the can for 2 more studio records. In fact, both of Stan's originals that we've heard live versions of tonight, The House of Orange and White Squall, didn't see the light of day until over a year after Stan was gone. Before the instrumental, we heard White Squall, as I mentioned, preceded by Stan's discourse on the trepidation of an artist seeking government funding. This came from one of the very last shows Stan ever performed at McCabe's Guitar Shop in Santa Monica less than a week before he died. And he was certainly a master, as you can hear, of the notion that if you're a performer and you're going to talk a lot on stage, you'd better be interesting. And Stan always was. Let's hear another cover version of a Stan song, this time from the Tannehill Weavers from Scotland. We'll have a lively rendition of The Flowers of Bermuda, a song which Stan never put on a studio album, but it appeared on his 1979 live record, Between the Breaks. The Tannehill Weavers recorded it not long after Stan died and included it on their 1984 album, Passage. And featured here are Roy Gillane on vocals and guitar, Phil Smiley on flute and whistle, Bill Bourne on guitar and bouzouki, and Alan McLeod on pipes and mandolin. True to its title, the record is full of songs relating to the passage of Scots to North America and some of their experiences. So let's give a listen now to the Tannehill Weavers on The Kitchen Party Cayley.
Five short hours from Bermuda, in a fine October gale, I came to cry. Oh, daddy breakers, daddy head from the Collier Nightingale. No sooner had the captain brought her round, came a branding crash, blow hard on the beamings, groaning with the nightingale, and overside her mainmast goes. He was the captain of the Nightingale, 21 days from fighting call. He could smell the flowers of Bermuda in the gale when he died on the North Rock shore. Oh, Captain, are we all for drowning? Came the cry from the crew, the boats are smashed. How are we to be saved? Now they are stoving through and through. But are you brave and hearty, call your man? Or are you blind and cannot see? Captain's good, it lies before you whole and sound. It'll carry all of we. He was the captain of the Nightingale, 21 days from guiding call. He could smell the flowers of Bermuda in the gale when he died on the North Rock shore. And the good prepared for sea to see the world, but 18 places to be manned and 19 mortal souls were we. But says the captain, now the night delay, or do you spare a far from me my duties to save you all if I can see you return quick as can be? All every flower's in Bermuda, and beauty lies on every hand, and every laughter, ease and drink for every man. But there is no joy for me. For when we reach the wretched Nightingale, what a painful sight, this plain captain drowned, tangled in his chains, smiling bravely beneath the sea. He was the captain of the Nightingale, 21 days from cloud and calm. He could smell the flowers of Bermuda in the gale when he died on the North Rock shore. He was the captain of the Nightingale, 21 days from cloud and calm. He could smell the flowers of Bermuda in the gale when he died on the North Rock shore.
The Tannehill Weavers there with a rousing version of The Flowers of Bermuda from their 1984 album, Passage. That song was, of course, written by the late, great Stan Rogers, and we're featuring Stan as this month's Theme Third Friday programming. I mentioned the town of Canso, Nova Scotia, a place I've been to frequently over the last dozen years and have discussed on earlier programs. It's a town of 900 residents, as far north and east as you can go on the North American mainland. Stan spent his summers there as a lad, and he still has family in town. In fact, I was once served a lovely fish chowder by Stan's aunt, June Jarvis. Canso was incorporated in 1604, and it spent much of its existence as a fishing town. With the decline of the fishing industry in eastern Canada in the 1990s, Canso suffered increasing hardship as the town's only industry, the fish plant, slowed to a trickle and then closed entirely. In an effort to provide an economic bright spot and to pay tribute to its favorite son, or rather nephew, Troy Greencorn launched the first Stan Rogers Folk Festival in 1997. Now in its 19th year, the festival, better known as Stanfest, brings more than 10,000 people to town the first weekend in July, and it's become a must-see event. Although you'll hear plenty of Stan's music, it's not a celebration of Stan per se, but rather pays tribute to his legacy as a songwriter. When putting the show together, I thought I could use an expert's input. So let's check out my recent conversation with Troy Greencorn, the founder of Stanfest, right now on The Kitchen Party Kaylee. Well, Troy, first off, I want to thank you for taking a few minutes in what is undoubtedly a very busy time for you.
Great, yeah. Appreciate the opportunity.
So you're preparing now for the 19th Stanfest, which is an absolutely amazing accomplishment. But for those of our listeners who are not so familiar with the festival or the link between the town of Canso and Stan Rogers, could you talk a little bit about what the relationship is between Stan Rogers and the town of Canso?
Sure. Well, back almost 20 years ago, there were a couple of ideas, I guess, spinning around, and the situation in the community was quite dire, actually, economically, sort of in the wake of the fishery crisis here in part of the world. So there was a real desire for the community to reinvent itself, I guess, to a certain degree. And then sort of the other factor, while not being from the community, Stan's mom's family came from the community, and throughout his life, there was a strong bond to the community. He spent all of his summers here, and certainly his music was influenced in a big way by the people and places in this area. So, you know, it's the kind of thing, whoever knows where ideas are born, but sort of the economic need and the desire to somehow pay tribute to Stan, both of those forces sort of came together in the creation of the festival. Artistically, it's an international songwriters festival. We bring songwriters from all around the world, and really that's the tie to Stan. So it's an international songwriters festival in a place he loved that pays tribute to songwriters, and it's in his honor. So it's not at all a festival of his music. It's a festival that celebrates the art of songwriting.
So tell us a little bit about your appreciation for Stan Rogers' music.
Certainly, I've always been a fan. I marvel at the volume and quality of work that Stan created in a very short lifespan. Really, I think he would have just been coming to his full stride, really, as a songwriter. But that being said, the body of music stands out still today, and I think always will, just in terms of his ability and his vision. You know, it's interesting. At that time, he was writing about what would happen in the fishery, and it's almost unfolded in this area, just as he wrote, you know, in songs like Make and Break Harbor and Tiny Fish for Japan. So it's prophetic, I think, in a lot of Atlantic Canada, but certainly in northeastern Nova Scotia, the people here really identify with the songs, and I think take pride in knowing that, to some degree, the songs were written for and about them.
It's really amazing as an American to listen to Stan's music, as I have for over 30 years now, and really get the sense of his love for his country and really all parts of his country, because he really covered pretty much the whole map.
Yeah, I've certainly read and heard that he had a much larger vision to eventually create a body of music spanning the whole country, the way that he covered the East Coast. You know, and I think he was well on his way. You know, songs like Field Behind the Plow, just as prophetic about the farming lifestyle and the prairie lifestyle as his songs about the fishery and the coastal communities, or songs about hockey players, you know, striving to make the NHL. It's just amazing to see what was created, but to think about what was to come.
And also, in an issue certainly very familiar to Eastern Canada, the notion of having to leave the provinces in order to go west, be able to find any work at all, which has certainly increased a lot more even than in his day.
Yes, certainly. become a beacon of hope, I guess, in this region and really in Nova Scotia. It's become that time when a lot of people come back home to Nova Scotia. So we see the attendees coming from really all over Canada. And a lot of those certainly would be expats with some connection to Nova Scotia. It's been interesting. I grew up in this little town. So in my 40 or so years, I've seen the town thrive, and I've seen it certainly struggle through the fisheries challenges. We sort of set out to recreate Woodstock here and save the community with the folk festival. We've learned that certainly a festival alone can accomplish that, but it's made a big difference. It really has. It's a little community with one gas station and one corner store and one grocery store, and then 5,000 people a day come for 4 days. So the population has increased sixfold for a period of time. And there's been some amazing stuff that's happened. There's actually been quite a few people that have bought homes here or cottages or even in some cases started businesses. It's become an economic engine, really, for the community. We had a big curveball last year. In year 18, basically one day out, we get a forecast of a Category 4 hurricane. And essentially, CANSO is the landfall for this hurricane. So we had to do the unspeakable, the unthinkable, and cancel one day out. You know, and at that point, we had 20 international performers either in the air or already in Nova Scotia on their way here. We had hundreds of people already in our campgrounds. The entire site is built. It takes 10 days to build it. So it was probably our toughest hour in the 20 years that we've been at this. But it's been an amazing story that's unfolded since. We've just had tremendous support. So we're back at it full speed, heading into number 19. And we've just been supported in an amazing way by our audience, our suppliers, our funding partners. 20 or so major folk festivals across the country have even contributed to the recovery effort. So it's been amazing to see that this little festival in this little town is a big part of the Canadian fabric of folk festivals. And as the emails and offers of support started to come in, really within an hour or two of us canceling and it hitting the national news, we knew at that point, okay, we got a mess to clean up here, but it could be a much worse mess if we were foolhardy and went forward with the festival in a hurricane. So it's a happy ending. So a big part of our branding this year is built around Rise Again. If it's there, use it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I've always found the most impressive about the festival is the extent to which it really has become, and probably was from the very beginning, a community event. And I certainly know that in all the time I've spent in CANSO, it's very common, almost on a daily basis, to see somebody running around town with their Stan Rogers volunteer t-shirt.
Yeah, I remember early on an interview that Mitch Podolik did, and Mitch was a big part of our startup. Sort of the grandfather of the Canadian Folk Festival. But the analogy he gave was the Vancouver Folk Festival has 800 volunteers in a city of over a million people. And Stanfest has 600 volunteers in a town of 900 people. So basically two of every three people are physically wearing a shirt and on the site. And the other one-third of the population is running those couple stores. And so it's really become a major part of the culture.
So it's amazing, too, about the fact that you have thousands and thousands of people coming to this little town where there's not more than a handful of hotel rooms, and then, of course, the campground by the marina, and then you have artists to accommodate and all sorts of dignitaries coming in, and yet somehow it all works out.
Yeah, I was at a conference in the U.S. recently, and I was talking about the festival, and someone raised their hand and said, how could you do that festival in that community with just 11 hotels? And I said, no, you misunderstood me. There's 11 rooms.
Still?
Literally, there are. So at the last court, you know, so literally 80% of the performers essentially camp as well. Just a very small group actually get a motel room. But, you know, I think one of the things that make it work is that it's just a great leveler. You know, it happens with the cast. It happens with the audience. Within 2 or 3 hours of the festival starting, everybody's wearing a ball cap. Nobody's wearing makeup. All the iPhones are tucked away. For many years, there was no self-service anyway.
I remember.
And I guess, you know, historically, it's a bit cliche to, you know, to talk of Woodstock, but through the years, I think the most successful, the most enduring festivals have been those that are in just pristine, amazing places, as opposed to perhaps a park within an urban environment. For a lot of people, they're driving 4 hours from Halifax to the site. So there's a whole transformation, I think, that happens on the way. And people that come here really want to be here.
Well, Troy, thanks so much for taking the time to be our guest here today in the middle of your preparations, and we wish you the best of luck with the festival.
Well, thanks, and again, really appreciate an opportunity to talk to your listeners.
That was my conversation with Troy Greencorn, the founder and executive director of the Stan Rogers Folk Festival, the 19th edition of which will take place this July 3rd, 4th, and 5th in Canso, Nova Scotia. If you'd like more info about the festival, the website is stanfest.com. Our programming tonight is made possible by support from Nine Irish Brothers, 575 Massachusetts Avenue at the corner of Mass Ave and East Street in Indianapolis. In addition to fine food and drink, they have live music, Irish only, Wednesdays through Sundays. This Saturday is Whiskey of the Damned. Every Wednesday is Dimitri Olano and his colleagues with a traditional session. Thursdays feature Whiskey Runner, and next Friday will be Highland Rain. If you'd like more information, the website is nineirishbrothers.com and the Facebook page is NIB Indy. We're also sponsored by the Scotty Grant Irish Music Club. If you'd like more information about our monthly session or the club in general, the website is scottygrant.org, the Facebook page is Scotty Grant Irish Music Club, and the Twitter handle is Scotty Grant IMC. And of course, that's Scotty with a Y. I also want to mention that the Ireland Crossroads of Art and Design exhibit, which we discussed over the last two programs, has been extended. You can now see the exhibit at the Art Institute of Chicago through June 21st, and I highly recommend that you do so. If you want more info, the website is artic.edu, or you can check out the podcasts of our last two shows, number 93 and 94. And since those shows were 93 and 94, this one is 95, which means, through the miracle of math, we're five away from our 100th program. It's hard to believe. And as I typically do on milestone programs, I'm going to turn the programming over to you. So if there's something you want to hear, something we've played before, something we've never played, or you have a question about the show that you want the world to hear the answer to, just let me know via email, Twitter, or Facebook at the addresses I'll give you at the end of the program. We've been featuring the music of Stan Rogers this week, and I've saved the best for almost last. My personal favorite recording of Stan's, and I know I'm not alone in this, is Barrett's Privateers, probably his best-known song, and this excellent version comes from his 1979 live album, Between the Breaks. Featured here is Stan's big band, with his brother Garnet, Grit Laskin, David Allen Eady, and Curly Boy Stubbs, so let's check them out right now on The Kitchen Party Kaylee.
Oh, the year was 1778. How I wish I was in Sherbrooke now. A letter of marque came from the king to the scummiest vessel I've ever seen. God damn them all. I was told we'd cruise the seas for American gold. We'd fire no guns, shed no tears. Now I'm a broken man on a Halifax pier, the last of Barrett's privateers. Oh, well, said Barrett, cried the town. How I wish I was in Sherbrooke now. For 20 brave men, all fishermen, who would make for him the Antelope's crew. God damn them all. I was told we'd cruise the seas for American gold. We'd fire no guns, shed no tears. Now I'm a broken man on a Halifax pier, the last of Barrett's privateers. The Antelope sloop was a sickening sight. How I wish I was in Sherbrooke now. She'd a list to the port and her sails in rags, and the cook in the scuppers with the staggers and jags. God damn them all. I was told we'd cruise the seas for American gold. We'd fire no guns, shed no tears. Now I'm a broken man on a Halifax pier, the last of Barrett's privateers. On the king's birthday we put to sea. How I wish I was in Sherbrooke now. We were 91 days to Monte Go Bay, pumping like madmen all the way. God damn them all. I was told we'd cruise the seas for American gold. We'd fire no guns, shed no tears. Now I'm a broken man on a Halifax pier, the last. cast of Barrett's privateers. On the 96th day we sailed again. I wish I was in Sherbrooke now. When a bloody great Yankee hove in sight, with our cracked 4-pounders we made to fight. God damn them all. I was told we'd cruise the seas for American gold. We'd fire no guns, shed no tears. Now I'm a broken man on a Halifax pier, the last of Barrett's privateers. The Yankee lay low down with gold. I wish I was in Sherbrooke now. She was broad and fat and loose in stays, but to catch her took the Antelope 2 whole days. God damn them all. I was told we'd cruise the seas for American gold. We'd fire no guns, shed no tears. Now I'm a broken man on a Halifax pier, the last of Barrett's privateers. Then at length we stood 2 cables away. I wish I was in Sherbrooke now. Our cracked 4-pounders made an awful din, but with 1 fat ball the Yanks stove us in. God damn them all. I was told we'd cruise the seas for American gold. We'd fire no guns, shed no tears. Now I'm a broken man on a Halifax pier, the last of Barrett's privateers. The Antelope shook and pitched on her side. I wish I was in Sherbrooke now. Barrett was smashed like a bowl of eggs, and the main truck carried off both men eggs. God damn them all. I was told we'd cruise the seas for American gold. We'd fire no guns, shed no tears. Now I'm a broken man on a Halifax pier, the last of Barrett's privateers. So here I lay in my 23rd year. How I wish I was in Sherbrooke now. It's been 6 years since we sailed away, and I just made Halifax yesterday. God damn them all. I was told we'd cruise the seas for American gold. We'd fire no guns, shed no tears. Now I'm a broken man on a Halifax pier, the last of Barrett's privateers.
You are listening to The Kitchen Party Kaylee. That, of course, was the legendary recording of Barrett's Privateers from Stan Rogers' live album Between the Breaks. This song has frequently been recorded by groups from Ireland, Scotland, and the U.S., in addition to many Canadian artists, but there's no better version than this one. I hope you've enjoyed our tribute to the music of Stan Rogers as we near the 32nd anniversary of his passing at the age of 33. We're getting near the end of our show for today. I hope you've enjoyed our time together, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. I want to thank our sponsors, 9 Irish Brothers in Indianapolis and the Scotty Grant Irish Music Club. Reach us by email at kitchenpartykaylee, that's all one word, and Kaylee is Ceilidh, at gmail.com, by Twitter at @KPC_radio, or through our Facebook page. You can find podcasts and playlists from all of our shows at iTunes. For our final track this week, let's hear another cover of a well-known Stan Rogers song, this time courtesy of Modabo from Newfoundland. Until next time, I am your host, Dave Bagdad, and I thank you for listening. We'll see you here again on Friday at 8 p.m. right after the Hawkeye Navi show. Slán ogat.
Ah, for just one time, I would take the Northwest Passage to find the hand of Franklin reaching for the Beaufort Sea, tracing one warm line through a land so white and savage, and make a Northwest Passage to the sea. Westward from the Davis Strait, 'tis there 'twas said to lie, the sea route to the Orient, for which so many died. Seeking gold and glory, leaving weathered broken bones, and a long-forgotten lonely cairn of stones. Ah, for just one time, I would take the Northwest Passage to find the hand of Franklin reaching for the Beaufort Sea, tracing one warm line through a land so wide and savage, and make a northwest passage to the sea. 3 centuries thereafter, I take passage over land in the footsteps of brave Kelso, where his sea of flowers began. Watching cities rise before me, then behind me sink again. This tardiest explorer driving hard across the plain. Ah, for just one time, I would take the Northwest Passage to find the hand of Franklin reaching for the Beaufort Sea, tracing one warm line through a land so white and savage, and make a northwest passage to the sea. And through the night behind the wheel, the mileage clicking west, I think upon Mackenzie, David Thompson, and the rest, who cracked the mountain ramparts and did show a path for me to race the roaring Fraser to the sea. Ah, for just one time, I would take the Northwest Passage to find the hand of Franklin reaching for the Beaufort Sea, tracing one warm line through a land so white and savage, and make a northwest passage to the sea. How then am I so different from the first men through this way? Like them, I left a settled life. I threw it all away to seek a northwest passage at the call of many men, to find there but the road back home again. Ah, for just one time, I would take the Northwest Passage to find the hand of Franklin reaching for the Beaufort Sea, tracing one warm line through a land so white and savage, and make a northwest passage to
You've been listening to The Kitchen Party Kaylee on WITT 91.9 FM, Indianapolis Community Radio. This program was made possible by support from 9 Irish Brothers and the Scotty Grant Irish Music Club. We hope that you'll join us again next Friday at 8 p.m. The Kitchen Party Kaylee is written, produced, and hosted by Dave Bagdad and was recorded at EMAS Studios in Broad Ripple. The Kitchen Party Kaylee is a Fortnite production. Thanks for listening.